This is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. What you're about to listen to is an episode of The Next Step with Father Vosken. We thank you for downloading or picking up a CD copy of this audio broadcast. Here, Father Vosken provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week free of charge, either as a podcast at epostle.net, Apple iTunes Store, Blueberry, and now on Stitcher Radio. Our commitment at epostle.net is to provide a medium for apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Hey, this is Father Vosken, priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, episode number 305 of The Next Step, a podcast that looks at the very fabric of our being, who we are, where we came from, where we're going, through the most ancient of all Christian traditions, Armenian Orthodoxy. But it's polished up for today, and this Armodoxy look is yours if you're ready to take the next step with us. This is part of the expanding vision of the In His Shoes mission, and if you're ready, I know I am, let's take the next step. April 10th. I am broadcasting from Southern California. I am at Epostle East today in Pasadena, looking out like a beautiful day
in
Southern California. Wherever you happen to be, I hope it's a beautiful one, and if it's not, so what? We're just hanging out together for the next few minutes. It is getting we're getting ready for Holy Week. It is a big time for us, and I'm going to be sharing with you the prelude to Holy Week. I don't think I've ever done this. We've been broadcasting now for about 6 years, and we've talked about Holy Week in many ways, but I don't think I've ever talked about the prelude to Holy Week, and that's what I'm going to focus on today. I hope your week's been a good one. It's been filled with ups and downs. I've been involved in a conference at our diocese for the last few days. A good friend of mine, Dr. Hadach Chilingirian, is here as a guest of the diocese. Yes, the same one. A few months ago, we had an interview with him. We're talking about what's going on in Europe and the Armenian Church over there, specifically in London. Well, he was invited here by the diocese to run a conference about mission statement, about setting up a mission statement, looking at strategic plans, and moving forward. So this has been an exciting few days, and there's still a couple more days today and tomorrow, which we're going to be involved in. Tonight I get to go to an event at my old alma mater at USC. The USC Institute of Armenian Studies Leadership Council is going to be doing something over there, an evening of appreciation. And specifically, I'm going because very dear, dear, dear friend of mine, Dr. Harayr Dekmejian, who happens to be a deacon of the Armenian Church and also the choir master at the church where I'm at, the church that I pastor at in Glendale. He's going to be honored this evening. He is the leader, the driving force behind this Armenian Studies program over there. Very excited for him. And, you know, it just reminds me that this is the kind of talent that I want to make people familiar with. You know, it's very easy to talk about the Armenian Church as something out there. It's difficult to be a part of it and to give yourself to it. And here you have a professor of political science. He's there in day in and day out in world events. And yet Sunday morning, and I've vouched for this because I've seen it, let's see, 12 years. Actually, I've known him for about 15 years. No, even longer. Jeez. geez, the years are getting getting to me, because we were in Pasadena together, but 11 years in Glendale. Since the first day that I got there in Glendale, he's been the choir master and leading the people. We have a very unusual situation at the Glendale St. Peter Church in that we don't have a choir. We have a people. Okay, we have the priests, the deacons, and people. There is no choir. So he leads the people every Sunday. And I'll vouch for this. Let's see, 11 years. He has never, ever, ever, ever missed a Sunday morning, except for once. Except for once. And that's because he was having breakfast with the King of Bahrain. Okay, he was on the other side of the world. It's not like he passed us up because he was at Denny's or something. No. He was in Bahrain and he was having breakfast with the king. So I think it's really important to focus in on people like this. It's just to show that the caliber of people and people who really tune in to really what the Armenian Church is all about. Last night at our Huskum service, our Lenten service, I had a chance to talk to a gentleman who's been coming around. And, you know, a few weeks ago we were talking with David out in Wisconsin, who was talking about his experience in tuning into the Armenian Church. And I met a gentleman last night, known him for a few years peripherally, but had a chance to talk, and invited him to come and do an interview on the show. So hopefully in a few weeks we'll have Michael with us, and he'll be talking about his experiences. I think it's fascinating that people on the outside are able to see the wealth that we have within the Armenian Church. And this is so true of many things in life. You know, familiarity breeds contempt. So you're familiar with something, so you really don't have an appreciation for it. And yet it takes somebody from the outside who comes and sees this beauty over here and says, wait, wow, this is a treasure. Much like Christ when he talks about the pearl. And I've always used this example as my personal example, the merchant in search of the pearl, who, when he finds it, Christ says, he sells everything for the chance to have that pearl. That's a powerful, powerful parable that Christ speaks. The kingdom of God is like the merchant in search of a pearl. And when he finds it, it's so beautiful. It's such a big treasure that he abandons everything. He sells everything just so he could purchase that pearl. Well, Jesus talks about the kingdom of God. And what is that kingdom of God? It's the church, his body, his corporate body. And at least for me, that's what I found in the Armenian Church. I found it so beautiful that you get here and you say, this is so incredible that you're willing to do anything for it. You're willing to give anything for it. Can you get to that point? Can you find a love that you have like that? And it's difficult. It's not easy. It's not easy. It comes with challenges. Certainly I could vouch for those challenges. It's sometimes comparable to a loveless marriage too, where you're giving everything on one side and you're saying, okay, I want a little love in return. And it's hard to find sometimes because, you know, there's so many factors involved. And this is what we've been exploring. At least personally, I've been exploring through the next step for the last 6 years. And I know a lot of you who've been on board from the early days know that we've experimented a lot of times with the idea of mission. And certainly getting to the diocese this week and being part of Dr. Chilingirian's forum and talking about the mission, it rekindles some of this dialogue that we've been having here on The Next Step. So it's an exciting time. I'm looking forward to continuing today, tomorrow, and I'm also looking forward to this interview we're going to be having in a few weeks with Michael. And a lot of good things in store for us coming up. Hey, listen, this week has been really special for me because I feel like healing is taking place. We are winding down the road to healing. Actually, tonight I'll be recording the last one in a series of 40. This is the Lenten journey for 2014. And I shared with you when we first started, this is going to be the road to healing, because I wanted to give listeners an opportunity to see what I'm going through, some of the experiences that I'm going through coming out of surgery, which coincided exactly with the Lenten period, coming out of surgery right at the beginning of Lent. And here we are on the last day of Lent. Actually, tomorrow Lent officially ends, the 40-day period ends, and then Saturday begins the beginning of Holy Week. And I wanted to give this opportunity for people to follow along and use it as an opportunity for them to heal. Now, the 40 days are up there on our website. What's nice about it is you can peel it open anytime you want. It doesn't have to be during Lent. You can start the day after Easter. But I do give this caveat, and I've been saying it lately a lot to people who've been coming up. Hey, I heard about it. I want to listen to it. You know, don't listen to it starting today. In other words, start from day one. Because some of the things that we talk later, in particular, somebody was telling me the other day, you know, those things that you were saying at this point in the Lenten journey just didn't make sense. Yeah, it won't make sense unless you start it off at the day one and use it as an opportunity to build. It's a meditative process. It's a staircase. It's not to be taken as one at a time. So you get to day 38, 39. It's built on days 1 through 37. And you got to listen to the whole thing. So give yourself some time and realize that, you know, healing doesn't happen right away. It happens as a process, and then the healing does happen right away. And even when Christ was healing people, there was a process by which people go through. In other words, they would come up to him, right? There was a time of preparation. It wasn't like he just went out there in the wilderness and said, hey, you need some healing, let me go and do it. No, it's an engaged and it's a dialogue. People are engaged in a dialogue. And you need to go through these steps without fear. It's a learning journey. It's a journey of growth. So I've got to tell you, this week has been very, very spiritually awakening for me. If you heard last, I believe it was Mondays or Tuesdays, I shared with you the story of Osana. That happened last Sunday. It was really kind of a cool, cool experience. There is a lady named Osan. Her name is Hosanna, is short for Hosanna. And she was in the hospital, and I had a chance to visit her at night, and it was a blessing to me, more than a blessing to her. She was just so excited, just excited. She woke up the whole hospital when I had come in, and we had a chance to talk. And this is a part that I didn't mention on my podcast, on the healing podcast. So when I got in there, I says, mighty good, which endearing term of mother, you know. I says, well, what was the urgency? You wanted me here today. You know, she said, you know what she told me? She said, I wanted you here today because it's Sunday. And I figured if you brought the Holy Communion, other people in the hospital would see me taking it, and they'd want it too. That's what she told me. Isn't that wild? That's the faith. That's the faith that this woman had. It's the faith of the mustard seed. It's the faith of the pearl. You found something so beautiful, you drop everything and you say, that's what I want, and I want to share it with everyone. And let me start off with that as before we go to the song of the day, because something happened, let's see, coincidentally with this. Last week, a lot of my parishioners came to me and told me that they've been receiving these flyers on their door. And in fact, I received one at my house too. It's written in Armenian. It says invitation in Armenian, Haravirumenk. And it's a picture of Jesus. And it's, you know, it's one of those comic book things like the Jehovah's Witness puts out. Yeah, to the trained eye, let's say it that way. To the trained eye, we could tell it was a Jehovah's Witness pamphlet. But, you know, if you're not trained, what does it look like? It looks like, well, like an invitation, and Jesus is on it. And under the guise of this invitation, they're inviting people to come and listen to a lecture about, you know, about the the Jehovah's Witness and how they have deduced that Jesus did this and this, and he was really crucified on a Tuesday, and his resurrection was this and that and everything. Okay, now I'm going to be talking about it this week on my TV show, especially because here in Southern California, it's so prevalent that they've targeted the Armenian group of people. But rather than talk about what Jehovah's Witness, because I've shared with you a lot of information through the years, but this is what the point is. If you've got something that's good, don't you want to share it with other people? So in a sense, the Jehovah's Witness have found something and they're sharing it with other people. Now, their means and their methods and ultimately their ends are disastrous because they break apart families. But what I want to center on is they want to share that information. That's what Digin Ozan, Mrs. Ozan, did in the hospital. She found something that was really, really good. She found the kingdom. She found that Holy Communion. And she invited me to come there because she wanted to share it with other people in the hospital. Same thing with all of us. When you found something good, and that's why later on when we talk about what you can do to help this ministry, I always emphasize it's not just about a donation, it's not just about a check, it's not just about calling us up, but actually sharing that link, getting out there and sharing it. That's an important thing. And that's what Mrs. Ozan was doing. She wanted me there to share that Holy Communion. That's what the witnesses are doing too. And really, it's part of finding something good. Like anything, you find a good a deal on a cell phone. What do? You go and you tell your friends, hey, this is a fantastic phone. Listen to it. It's great, and so on. So it's all part of it. Okay, I'm going to come back in a couple minutes right after the song of the day, and we're going to be talking about the prelude to Holy Week. Here is the song of the day. It is from an artist, Django Reinhardt. I just got this CD. My sister gave it to me. And there's a song on here. It's called I'll Never Be the Same. And that's what we hope for you when you listen to the next song. Thank you. how's that like mood music, huh? To get us in the mood for what we're going to be talking about today. That is artist Django Reinhardt off the Essentials CD. I will definitely put a link on today's show notes so you can check out not only that song, but all of his great music. I've been getting into it. My sister gave me this CD a couple days ago, and I've just been kind of impressed by the different sounds. You have to kind of listen to it. I think it ends up to be background music in life, but there are some incredible moments in here, especially from Pathetique, Tchaikovsky's, an improvisation of Tchaikovsky's Pathetique, one of my favorites, and just to hear the artist play it adapted, so to speak, to guitar. And anyway, I hope you enjoyed that song. It was called I'll Never Be the Same, and I'm using that as a prelude to the prelude to Holy Week, because after you get through an Armenian church Holy Week, you should never be the same. Up the Lenten period, and what that only means one thing, that there is Holy Week in front of us, and that is a very special, special time in the life of a Christian, and especially within the Armenian Church, Armenian Orthodoxy. As I've shared with you many times, in the Armenian Church, the Holy Week season is not just a period where we commemorate the life of Christ, his passion, his sufferings, his crucifixion, and ultimately his resurrection, but it's also a time that we live it. And if you go to the Armenian Church services, beginning with Palm Sunday and all the way through till Easter, you actually walk with Christ. And this is something that has just been really beautiful in my life personally, is that you actually walk with Christ. In other words, on Palm Sunday, there is the triumphant entry into Jerusalem. We have a procession that takes place. On the Tuesday, we have the office of the 10 maidens, and the girls come and line up with their candles, and they actually work out that entire scenario in Matthew chapter 25 about the maidens coming and bringing their lamps, some lit, some unlit. And then on Holy Thursday, we have the institution of the Last Supper, the institution of the Holy Eucharist. We partake. Thursday evening, it's the washing of the feet. The priest, the head of the church, comes down on his knees. He washes the feet of the congregation. Actually, you go through it on Holy Thursday during while recounting the betrayal of Christ. The lights slowly dim until we are left in darkness. So you have the option of, what is life without Christ? What is life without love? What does it mean to exist in darkness? And then, of course, on Friday, not only do we remember the crucifixion and the burial, we actually build a tomb, and you go underneath the tomb, leaving your cares behind under that tomb. And then, of course, on Saturday night, the Easter Eve service, and Sunday morning, We greet one another by saying Christ has resurrected. Not Happy Easter, but Christ has resurrected. So each of the days of Holy Week is an opportunity to live and walk with Christ. Now, what I promise you today is something a little bit different, and that is the prelude to Holy Week. And this is something very few people actually know, unless you're a priest and know what the Armenian Church believes in. That's a sad commentary, isn't it? Oh, you have to be a priest to know this. Well, that's why you're listening to The Next Step, right? Come on, admit it. That's why you listen to me, because I'm giving you some of the inside secrets of the Armenian Church, okay? So, that's one scenario. If you're a priest, of course, if you know some of the history of the Armenian Church, or if you're in a monastery right now, if you're listening to all of our friends listening in monasteries throughout the world, you know that before Holy Week begins, before Christ goes into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, there is an episode that takes place in Scripture, and we recount it in the Armenian Church, and that is on Saturday. It's called Lazarus Saturday. The Saturday before Palm Sunday, we recount the raising of Lazarus. This is a story that comes to us from the Gospel of John, chapter 11. And actually, I'm going to walk you through it, too, because I think it's fascinating, in not just for the sake of the miracle, fascinating in our personal growth as Christians, and especially in preparation for the Holy Week ahead of us. So I'm going to be reading out of one of my favorite translations. It's the New English Bible. This is a translation I picked up back in college. I like it particularly because it has a little bit of flavor of classics, but it's very, very contemporary. When I was a student, I had done extensive research. I always felt very fortunate next to my classmates, who they had the opportunity to read it also in Hebrew and Greek, and then check out with the English translation. I had the extra added benefit of being able to check it out against the Armenian text, and as one of the ancient texts and translations. So I really found this particular translation, which is done in London, I believe it is an English translation. Yeah, now Cambridge University Press, New York, it says over here, but the translation is approved by the Baptist Union of Great Britain, the Church of England, the Church of Scotland, the Congregational Church of England and Wales, the Council of the Church of Wales. Okay, that's, yes, okay, it is the United Kingdom. Okay, so this is a translation done in the United Kingdom. And like I said, when I was a student, I really just felt that this was a very healthy and good translation. So I'm going to be reading out of there, and you can follow along in whatever translation you like, except the New World Translation, because, well, as being Jehovah's Witness translation, is just not accurate, okay? But let me read some of it with you, okay? John chapter 11. There was a man named Lazarus who had fallen ill. His home was at Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus had fallen ill, was the woman who anointed Jesus with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair. The sisters sent a message to him. So these sisters, Lazarus is sick, they send a message to Jesus. Sir, you should know that your friend lies ill. When Jesus heard this, he said, "This illness will not end in death. It has come for the glory of God, to bring glory to the Son of God." And therefore, though he loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after hearing of his illness, Jesus waited for 2 days in the place where he was. Okay, so he hears that Lazarus is sick. Just takes it easy. Not going to die. Don't worry about it. Full confidence, faith. After this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go to Judea." So his disciples ask him, "Is it not long since the Jews there were wanting to stone you? Like, why are we going back there? They're not really your fans over there. Are you going there again?" And Jesus replied, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone can walk in daytime without stumbling because he sees the light of this world. But if he walks after nightfall, he stumbles because the light fails him." Where did that come from, right? Well, of course, Jesus is talking about the light, his presence, giving the light, giving an opportunity, right? Giving an opportunity to not stumble. And after saying this, he added, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I shall go and wake him." The disciples said, "Master, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover." Jesus, however, had been speaking of his death, but they thought that he meant natural sleep. Get it? He was speaking in metaphor. He was sleeping, he's talking about sleeping. He meant death. Okay, Jesus spoke in metaphor, right? Not everything is literal. Get it? Everybody who tells you, "Oh, it's literal translation, it's exact." No, even Jesus spoke in metaphor. The story continues by saying, "Then Jesus spoke out plainly, 'Lazarus is dead. I am glad not to have been there. It will be for your good and for the good of your faith. But let us go to him.' Thomas, one of the disciples, okay, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. Okay, so there was this idea that Jesus is going to Judea, he may get stoned over there. Remember the last time we were over there? So you're seeing the loyalty of the group, that we want to go with Jesus. The idea that Jesus is not alone, he's walking there together with his group. On his arrival, Jesus found Lazarus had already been 4 days in the tomb. Now, the scripture says that Bethany was about 2 miles from Jerusalem. So figure, what is 2 miles? About a half an hour walk. Okay, so people are walking over there, and they're there to offer their condolences to Mary and Martha. And it says, scripture says, as soon as she heard that Jesus was on his way, Martha went to meet him while Mary stayed at home. Remember the Mary and Martha? Who stays at home? Who goes out? Remember the story in the kitchen? This time we see Martha running out in front of Jesus. And Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, sir, my brother would not have died. Okay, this is a straight proclamation. I know, if you were here, he would not have died. But here, listen to what she says next. This is where the faith comes in. But even now I know that whatever you ask for, God will grant it to you. Okay, so Martha's expressing her faith in Christ. Jesus responds to this. Remember, it took Martha to say it. Now Jesus responds and says, your brother will rise again. Martha, like you and me, I think this is here's the answer I think any one of us would give. I know that he will rise again, said Martha, at the resurrection on the last day. And Jesus turns that, okay? So Martha's talking about an event that's going to take place. I know that he will rise on the last day. Very clean understanding, okay? We have this tradition that at the end, everyone will come back and everybody will rise, and Jesus changes it. He changes it completely from a future event to a present. He becomes the living verb to be. Not he will rise, but what does Jesus say? He says, I am the resurrection, and I am the life. If a man has faith in me, even though he die, he shall come to life, and no one who is alive and has fallen shall ever die. Let's read that again. Okay, it's really, really important. Martha says, I know he will come back. Jesus turns it to a present day event. He says, I am the resurrection. I am the life. If a man has faith in me, even though he die, he shall come to life, and no one who is alive and has fallen shall ever die. Now, here's the interesting part, because he doesn't leave it there. He wants a response. He turns to Martha and he says, do you believe this? Okay, I put out this incredible, this big old, massive faith and information at you. I want an answer from you. Do you believe this? And Martha says, Lord, I do. I now believe that you are the Messiah and the Son of God who was to come into the world. Okay, now, what happens at that point? Completely transformed. No longer the old Martha, a new Martha. I will never be the same. Remember the song? I will never be the same. I can't be the same because now I've confronted you, Christ. Right there. I am the resurrection. That's it. Boom. No more about coming, no more about myths and mythologies about things in the future. No, I am the resurrection. I am the life. Do you believe this, Martha? Yes, I do. With these words, she went to call her sister Mary, and taking her aside, she said, the Master is here. He is asking for you. When Mary heard this, she rose up quickly and went to him. Jesus had not yet reached the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. Remember, he was walking the the half-hour walk. Okay, so he still hasn't gotten there. The Jews who were in the house condoling with Mary when they saw her start up and leave the house went after her, for they supposed that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Okay, their heads are still, the guy's dead. Okay, our condolences, you know. So Mary came to the place where Jesus was. As soon as she caught sight of him, she fell at his feet and said, "Oh, sir, if you had only been here, my brother would not have died." The same thing that Martha said, right? When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews, her companions, weeping, he sighed heavily and was deeply moved. "Where have you laid him?" he said. They replied, "Come and see, sir." Jesus wept. The Jews saw how dearly he must have loved him. But some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the blind man's eyes have done something to keep Lazarus from dying? Like, why didn't he come a few days earlier, right?" Jesus again sighed deeply. Then he went over to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone placed against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the dead man's sister, said, "Sir, by now there will be a stench. He has been there for 4 days. You don't want to open a tomb that's been has a dead body in there for 4 days. Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you have faith, you will see the glory of God?" Okay, so we've got you've got the two sides, right? You've got the physical. It's horrible. There's somebody dead in there. I know it. I know physics. I know biology. I know there's a dead body. It can't survive. It's going to be horrible in there. And what does Jesus say? "Didn't I just tell you that if you just believe, it's going to be okay?" Like, in other words, get your mind off of this planet and understand that things are possible. The impossible is now going to be possible. And so Scripture says, so they remove the stone. Then Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you. Thou hast heard me. I knew already thou always hearest me. But I spoke for the sake of the people standing round, that they might believe that you sent me." Then he raised his voice in a great cry, "Lazarus, come forth." By name, he approached the dead man. He says, "Lazarus, come forth." The dead man came out, his hands and feet swathed in linen hands, his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said, "Loosen him. Let him go." Now many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did put their faith in him. But some of them went off to the Pharisees and reported what they had done. Thereupon the chief priests and the Pharisees convened a meeting. "What action are we to take? This man is performing many signs. If we leave him alone like this, the whole populace will believe in him. Then the Romans will come and sweep away our temple and our nation." Okay, there you go. There is the prelude to Holy Week. So this miracle takes place. And why did they want to put Jesus on the cross? Why did they want to get rid of him after he's doing all these things? Because they were still on this temporal plane. They were still thinking in terms of, okay, well, the Jews, you just saw somebody do this incredible miracle, but you can't get your head above what the possibilities are. And that's what Jesus is saying. There are possibilities here. Possibilities. You're so worried about the Romans? You just saw this miracle. You saw somebody who had control over life, and you're concerned about the Romans over there? What are you talking about? But that's where we are as people. That's where we are as human beings. We get consumed by the things that we can understand. Rightly so, you know, it's very big. It's a very, very big order to say, okay, let's believe that the guy who went into the grave is going to come out. But that's what you're called to do. And in this sense, this is why when I tell you that the Holy Week in the Armenian Church is an actual walk with Christ, it has to start off at the tomb of Lazarus. That's why in the Armenian church, the Saturday is called Lazarus Saturday, because you've got to put it in context. You've got to be able to understand that you have this opportunity to be at one with the universe. Don't worry about the Romans, about the United States, about the United Kingdom, about Russia, about Armenia, about Turkey, about all the temporal trappings. There's something greater than all the politics of the world. You have an opportunity to be at one with your Creator, to really learn the power that you have over death. And that power is basically inside of you. That power is Christ working inside of you. That's why he says, I am the resurrection. Don't look for something way out there. Don't look for something to come. Remember what Martha said, Lord, if you had come, this is what, and Jesus says, your brother's going to be okay. And she says, yeah, I know that. Sometime in the future. No, Jesus says, right now is the future. I am the resurrection. I am the life. And so as a prelude to Holy Week, what you're going to see is that on Sunday, as we start the Palm Sunday walk into Jerusalem, into physical Jerusalem, and then you go through all of the politics. That's all this was. This was a political game, this passion play that takes place during Holy Week. It is basically a political game where they come up to him and they're going to say that, okay, we don't need a Messiah of the soul. We don't need somebody to liberate us and to make us at peace with God. We need the liberation of Israel, because all we can think about is how do we get the Israelis out of this thing, the chosen people thing and all that kind of stuff. And Jesus says, no, this is not what this is about. I'm not here to save your nation. I'm here to save the world. And once you can make that connection, once you understand that, Holy Week starts having a different meaning in your life. Because it's not about people interacting, it's about you interacting, about Christ interacting with you and your response to the world, your response. You walk through Holy Week, you get to the resurrection, so that when Christ resurrects, it is a resurrection of body, soul, and mind for you. The event that took place 2,000 years ago is an event in history. What happens today is an opportunity for you to connect. This week we're looking for a lot of miracles in our lives in many, many ways. It begins with the miracle of Lazarus. It begins as a prelude to Holy Week. Now I'm going to invite you to follow along. Now, I do have a series, and I would love it if you're in Glendale, please do stop by, go with us. If you are in near an proximity to an Armenian church, go to the Armenian church services throughout Holy Week. Go connect with them and go to an Armenian church service. Get involved. But if for some reason you can't, do check out our series. I'll put a link on our show notes. It's the last 9 days. It is from Lazarus Saturday all the way to Easter Sunday. That is a series as part of the original Lenten journey. We will put it up on our website. And do check it out. Follow it day by day. And what you see is that you walk with Christ. So that when you get to Easter Sunday, this idea of Happy Easter, and here's your little chickies coming out of the eggs, and here's your little bunny rabbits, just doesn't make any sense. They don't hold water anymore, because there's something so much greater. And it's exactly like what happened to Martha and Mary. Transformation. Whereas you're believing in something else, and all of a sudden you say, of course I believe. It is you. I believe you are the Messiah. I believe that you are here for my salvation. You have given life to me, and I know you're going to give life to those that have died. No matter what your tragedies are in your life, even if you've faced death in your life, even if you've got a loved one who has left you, today is that opportunity to latch on to something greater than yourself, to understand that really the universe is in your favor, that Christ has come for you, has come for your loved ones, has come for the sake of humanity. And this passion play that we walk through this week is a play that we walk for ourselves. It's not about remembering something 2,000 years ago. God doesn't need us to applaud what happened. He needs us to live what happened and understand that it's happening for us. Here is Susie to tell you a little bit about what we do for us, if you like what you've been hearing. And I'll be back in a couple minutes.
Hi, this is Susie for In His Shoes Ministries. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We are growing daily with new listeners around the globe. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties. At epostle.net, we are determined to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. This means we must avail ourselves to technology's latest tools. Your donations help us expand and deliver this message to a waiting world. Please support us by pressing on the donate button at epostle.net. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Thank you, Susie, for that announcement. And, well, it's an announcement for all of us. This is a great time of year to really make your pledge and your offering to this ministry. It is Easter time. You know, we have a tradition in the Armenian Church. It's called Yulakin. It is to give the money for the lanterns, for the light in the church. And it was a very simple tradition. Before there was electricity, we'd run the churches on the candles. And so people would give the donations for the oil, for the lanterns, for the candles. Well, today we are running on this network. And it costs money to run the servers, costs money to have these computers and these microphones. If you like what you hear, please, please make a donation to the Epostle Ministry. This is part of the St. Peter Armenian Church in Glendale. It's one of the wings of In His Shoes Ministries, reaching out to the poor. It's all the stuff that comes together. They're really what we talk about over here. If you want to get involved with the Epostle, like I said earlier, and like Susie reminds you, you know, just share the link, tell people about it. But we do need your donations as well. So do please plan on giving something, especially around this Easter time. We are at the end of today's show. I hope you enjoyed it. It is the prelude to Holy Week. I do wish you all the best on Holy Week. Next time I'll be with you on the Next Step will be next Thursday, which is the institution of the Last Supper, and we'll be talking a little bit about the feet washing and all these services. So we will meet again on Holy Week. Also, do check out all of the series that we have, especially the Lenten Journey, the Road to Healing. I'm going to add a few extra bits. We have one more day coming up tomorrow, the 40th day, and then next week I'm going to do a very special thing. So get involved at epostle.net. Make sure you get on the email list so you get all the latest updates and find out all the fun things that are happening. Hey, listen, I'll greet you next week with the Easter message. In the meantime, give praise and glory to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, because that's what it's all about. For Susie, our producer, for Ken, our engineer, Valher, our webman, this is Father Vazgen inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
We trust you've enjoyed and been blessed by this edition of The Next Step with Father Vazgen. We invite you to join us every week for our regular broadcast. This, as well as all other episodes of The Next Step, are available for streaming and download at epostle.net. In addition, you can stream, download, or subscribe at Apple's iTunes Store, Blueberry, and Stitcher Radio, or try our smartphone app. New episodes are available globally every Thursday. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. We invite you to point your web browser to epostle.net, where you can enter your email address to have the next step delivered directly to your inbox. For the production crew and all the members of In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week. And now here's the fine print. The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of vpostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Leave blood at the Red Cross, not on the highway. This is Bradley Crawford saying see you next week.
Take your breath, cut out.